Blog Talk Radio.
Computer buffer. There you go. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp, May 19, 2022. A hot one down here in Southeast Virginia. We hit fucking 90 degrees in May. Global warming is here because it was only like, I felt like it was 30 degrees 2 weeks ago. That joint hit 90. Like, I was like, it's starting to get to the fat person season where we got to start taking 2 showers a day. Take a shower in the morning when you get up, clean yourself, prepare yourself for the day, and then because you got so much heat hit you and so much sweat, you got to take a shower at the end of the day. It's a fat person's problem, but, you know, here we are. Welcome to the off-ramp, folks. Show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. It's the show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. See what's popping in these streets. See what's happening in your hood, my hood. And we discuss. We discuss all type of topics. Sports, love, politics, food, wine. Oh, you got to go downstairs and get a bottle of wine on there. I brought everything else up. All that good stuff, man. Whatever interests you, we try to have a good, healthy discussion. We save the names and faces to protect the innocent. I don't want nobody getting fired, but it's pretty easy to find us. You can find us all over the internet. We got a Facebooker, a Facebook page. We got a Instagram page. We got a Twitter. I don't use them that often, but I'm trying to get better. I think my goal next week is to have this show on Twitch. My little nephew and my baby sister have been dying to get this show on Twitch. That's where the kids are. We've been doing blog talk for about 7 years, 5 years or so. And I've been paying them every month. And Twitch is free, so... I've been hustling backwards for a very, very, very long time. So we're going to try to get to, I'm going to really do my best to get this on Twitch next week. And if it works out, we might just move the Twitch altogether. I got to figure out a way to have people call into the Twitch stream. I'm hoping that my sister can help me out with that. So we'll see how it goes. So again, if you want to call in, 294-773-9975, we are here. We do this from 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern every Thursday. We try to, you know, clear out a bunch of topics, but again, if there's something that you found interesting that I didn't bring up, then feel free to jump in you know, have your topic heard. Looks like slow night. Nobody's on tonight. I guess everybody's watching NBA playoffs, but we got the wonderful, the lovely, the sexy, the tired DJ C-Sign. DJ C-Sign just got home from work. She's busting a grub on a Chick-fil-A filet. Welcome, DJ C-Sign. Welcome to All Friends. How you doing?
Thank you. Tired. But my rant. What happens to the Chick-fil-A spicy grilled sandwich? Grilled fillets. Spicy grilled fillets, where they go?
China.
What? I don't understand. They can chop them up and put them on salad, but they can't warm them up and keep them as a fillet.
The because it ain't real chicken. You know, I found it interesting. When me and you have the Chick-fil-A discussion, like, Chick-fil-A is a fairly newly popular franchise. If you think how long McDonald's been around, Burger King been around, KFC been around, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A was a latecomer as far as popularity across the country. But it's funny because I had Chick-fil-A growing up since I was a kid. There was one in our, it wasn't my neighborhood, but it was, you know, 5 minutes away. PJ, she's trying to last any time I talk about my neighborhood because I'm like, it's the next city over. And she's like, yeah, it's right down the street.
Like 2 blocks away. But no, I mean, it was popular. I mean, we had it too. So maybe it was.
You don't see a difference in Chick-fil-A now versus when you were growing up and how much the people want it?
Are you talking about engineering? Is this GMOs?
Well, just think about Chick-fil-A lines at lunch and dinner time.
I mean,
they're always packed. Did you, as a kid, remember going to Chick-fil-A and it being packed?
Yeah.
Mm.
But you didn't go to Chick-fil-A often because it was expensive. It's just a lot cheaper. And when you had allowance or you had some money, you'd go get a burger. It was cheaper.
Chick-fil-A had burgers where you go?
No, you would go to McDonald's and get a burger versus going to Chick-fil-A and pay. I mean, we'd have to get the kids meals, and we weren't kids anymore. But let's see, HR boss, I guess we'll call her. Growing up, and she would always, look, she was ordering the kids nuggets until we were like 16.
And I guess I never noticed the price, but I always say that the one thing I miss about Jersey the most is the food, which obviously because I'm fat, it's probably y'all would all laugh.
But what food? I mean, like.
But the great thing about Jersey is you can go anywhere to get a good meal. Like any local place has good food. So we never really ran a Chick-fil-A because if you wanted a chicken sandwich, you go down the street to Paisan's and get you a chicken sandwich on a Kaiser roll with some cheese and some lettuce, and it was fresh. You might have to wait a couple minutes.
Right. It wasn't like that.
But why go to a fast food chain for a chicken sandwich when you can get a freshly made one from the Italians down the street?
We didn't really have that.
Yeah, down the street from you is.
We had barbecue. Anything else?
And that's the other thing about where you grew up since we've been married and I visited your hometown. If y'all wanted some good poultry, you would just go to the barbecue shop and get a pound of turkey from Starnes. Why would you ever choose Chick-fil-A over Starnes? That's why I would think, but Starnes is expensive. Did y'all eat there often? Well, your aunt had a barbecue stand,
yeah.
So y'all probably got tired of barbecue.
We would go there before we went to Starnes.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah,
I mean,
but it's different. It's a different taste.
Chick-fil-A. I feel like the Chick-fil-A phenomenon is new. New York's in the building. New York, what's happening, champ?
Look, I'm good. I'm great. I'm ready for another great show. You heard? I hear y'all talking about food. I love food.
So, I mean, because I got my wife. My wife had to work 12 hours a day. It's been a long couple of days for her. Somebody walked out on the job. So it's been a long day for her. So I was like, yeah, let me just get her some Chick-fil-A so when she walks in, she can just take off her clothes and eat. So what I was explaining to her is that the popularity of Chick-fil-A seems to me like a new phenomenon. I feel like McDonald's was always popular, Wendy's was always popular. But I've always known Chick-fil-A growing up because we had one, you know, 10 minutes from my house, right by the mall. But it just wasn't our go-to spot. Do you remember Chick-fil-A growing up? Like, you're a little younger, so I might have hit you a little different, but, like, I mean, you're from New York. Was Chick-fil-A even in New York?
Nah, I don't remember no Chick-fil-A. We had the Mickey D's. We had the For real, go to Kennedy's or we hit the deli for real. The deli really is a spot. Or the corner store, for real. They got everything you need.
Yeah, and I see, and I think that's why, like, even though Chick-fil-A was right down the street growing up, and we would go sometimes. You know, you leave the mall, you walk across the street to wait for a bus, you just walk in Chick-fil-A, grab your little Chick-fil-A sandwich. So, but the popularity of it now, and maybe that's just because we're both from the Northeast, because that's what I was explaining to DJ C. Simon. Like, if I wanted a chicken sandwich, why go to a fast food chain when you got Italian down the street who'll cook you a fresh chicken breast, you know, hot off the grill and throw it on a nice, you know, Italian roll, you know, with some lettuce and stuff. Why would you ever go to Chick-fil-A? But I feel like places in the South really adopted Chick-fil-A because they don't have those corner stores. I mean, that's what I miss about New Jersey. It's like every other block there was a place to grab some food, and I guess that's just how much population is there. I'm not sure how it is now. I haven't lived there. Once I left at 18, I didn't come back. I mean, I came back to visit, but I didn't come back to move back. But you think that's why we didn't get the Chick-fil-A phenomenon, just because of where we lived at?
Yeah, because like you said, it's just like it's a heavy populated area. So like anywhere, like you could just walk down a block and then it'd just be a corner store. You could walk another block and be another corner store right there. It's just mad places to eat. You probably walk down the strip. There's a bodega right there, bodega the poppy right there, going fix you a chopped cheese or whatever, BLT, whatever you want, toasted bread and everything. You probably walk halfway down the block. There's a Jamaican spot right there. You would get the chicken over rice and everything. And then you hit the other end of the block. It's another corner store right there. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I'll tell you what. That's one thing I miss, like, about being in New York is the array of, like, island food that's extremely popular. We got one Jamaican spot down here that we go to that's close to us, and they're good when they're good, but when they're bad, it's awful. But New York, man, y'all got West Indian food all over the place. You can always go grab a good plate of some rice and some kitty goop. But do you think Chick-fil-A is a new phenomenon, or do you think it's been a phenomenon, but we just didn't see it because we were up in the Northeast?
Yeah, I think for me, yeah, Chick-fil-A wasn't a phenomenon until like this. I don't know. I'm still young, but then it wasn't a phenomenon until I came down here. And even when I came down here, it was just like it still wasn't a go-to spot. Like it just happened just recently, like within the last couple of years.
Now, I'll tell you the smartest thing Chick-fil-A did. They embedded themselves in colleges and universities. Like, there was a Chick-fil-A damn near on every campus in America in the South. So you get that many kids, you know, you go to a cafeteria and there's a Chick-fil-A in there. Like, kids grew up on that. Like, I mean, that was my go-to meal in college just because I had enough money to buy a chicken sandwich and I was fat enough that I could steal 2 12 to count nights out the cafeteria.
I just
want to say, I hate to be a start this conspiracy theory. I think it's possible because of the right wing crazies, and it is their, you know, restaurant. It's their national fast food restaurant of moral, and you know, the South because it's from Georgia. And
is that where Chick-fil-A is from, Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Not Atlanta, Georgia.
Well,
like, there's a difference.
I don't know, but it's in Atlanta. But, and, you know, I think once Trump came on the scene, I think they started embracing, so that's when they started talking about, you know, the support Chick-fil-A because they don't want
to
get
gay people.
And, you know, they close on Sunday because they love the Lord, but they don't like gay people. And, you know, so I don't know. I think they kind of hyped up Chick-fil-A because I felt like before then, you know, we didn't really see the commercial for it and stuff.
So you think it was a right-wing phenomenon?
Yep.
That's interesting. I don't know.
I tried to boycott him, and it ain't work.
But, I mean, when Chick-fil-A went through the whole I hate gay people, you got to understand that's corporate. Like, Chick-fil-A's are franchises. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You know, there's gay people that own Chick-fil-A's.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. But you still feel like you're supporting those people, too. You know, I mean, it's a franchise. You're supporting those. You're supporting the franchisee, but you're also supporting corporate.
Yeah, but if a gay person owns Chick-fil-A, you want to support gay people. Like, you don't want the gay Chick-fil-A person to go broke. Just because, I mean, that's like being mad at a white person because their parents is racist. We can't do that.
Right. I mean, I know what you're saying. I understand. I mean, I support them. Lord, no. So all the gay franchisees are franchise owners of Chick-fil-A should be happy. they get my money regularly. I'm a gold member. Like, get points and everything.
Got all types of points.
Mm-hmm. So they be all right. I'm staying
away from Hobby Lobby. I've been doing that. Now, Hobby Lobby is really racist, right? They're the people who do crafts and stuff. And they don't even like black people, right?
I don't know about black people.
They don't like gay people?
They don't like women.
The craft place doesn't like women? There's no dudes doing crafts out there, are there?
Hobby Lobby Law. Hobby Lobby Law was passed because it was the first non-religious company or non-religious affiliated employer. So, meaning up until this point.
You couldn't get birth control, right?
Right. Okay. Okay, you heard the story.
I was just trying to get you there.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Go ahead.
Spit your review.
Anyway, just, you know, outside of school, you know, Notre Dame, outside of Catholic run, you know, or religious run, you know, educational systems or hospital systems, those are the ones that were made. Ugh, you put mustard on that? Or who are the ones that were mainly...
You put Chick-fil-A stuff on it. It looks like you have a bunch of nuts.
It looks just like that.
It mustard exactly don't like look mustard. Like nuts.
It's yellow, honey.
It looks like creamy.
So what are you talking about?
New York. You got a couch show.
So Hobby Lobby was the only company or the first non-religious company to not cover birth control for their... employees. So they just morally right.
Have sex before marriage.
So you don't have sex either, I have a kid.
That's crazy.
And you better not have an abortion. And we're not going to pay for it.
That's crazy, yo. I wonder if does Notre Dame give out condoms? I wonder if these Catholic schools give out condoms. I would assume that all universities gives out condoms. I think BYU is real. Like, you're not even allowed to have sex on that campus, so they'll kick you out. I don't know. All right, that's enough of the randomness. New York, man, what you got? You got anything you want to rap about?
Oh, no, I'm ready for the show. I do have one thing. I don't know if I said this before, but Do pit bulls grow hair, bro? Because I think their hair stay the same length. They whole ride through.
Do pit bulls grow hair?
Yeah, like do they actually grow? Their hair literally every time that I see the pit bull like grow or something like that, their hair stay the same length. I never see it grow like a Yorkie or a poodle or anything else. Like yo, them shits is the same length the whole time.
Well, I think they have. I think they got that dander fur, so it sheds a lot, so it doesn't get long. It's not like our hair where like if you never give a pit bull a haircut, they're just going to get hairy, hairy, hairy. Like, this shit will fall off by itself. So that's why it's always the same length, because they just be shedding. But, yeah, I mean, they definitely shed, though. I mean, we had a pit bull. Her hair was everywhere. But it's definitely one of those short-haired dogs where you're not going to have as much as, like, a lab. Like, our lab sheds. Our lab, God bless his soul, man. That dog hair was, that shit was like a tumbleweed rolling through the house, yo. That's when I knew I had the vacuum, yo, when I was laying on the couch watching TV and a ball of my dog's hair goes by. But, you know, pit bull shed, though. If you really scratch a pit bull hard, you'll see all the hair fly off. But they got that dander, so you'll see a lot of dust, too, which is a little nasty. But yeah, how high was you looking at a pit bull's hair and wondering why it doesn't grow?
I was up in the clouds, dude. Like I was up in the clouds, and I'm like, I'm glad because I can't imagine just shaving a pit bull, bro. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. I can't do it.
Yeah, they would. Pit bulls look nasty if you cut their hair down. I like them Siamese cats. But, all right. So, yeah, I mean, that's your answer. They shed, but they don't have hair. So, like, poodles and, like, those type of dogs and Yorkies, they got hair. So, their shit will just grow. Like, they'll grow above their face. That's why they need to get haircuts. You know what I mean? Because you have to literally cut the hair off, but it won't shed in your house. Like, you won't have just dog hair laying around. So that's why I want to get a giant poodle just so, you know, I don't have to vacuum as much. Because all I got to do is take them and get a haircut and get a fresh one. And I want to get my dog's hair cornrowed. I'm going to see if I can find somebody who can do that. I think a dog with cornrows would be dope. I don't know if that's legal or not. I'm home with PETA, too, they'll definitely get me. But, all right, so, good high topic. You got anything else, New York, New York?
Nah, I'm ready for the conversation.
All right, looks like Blur just joined us. Let me get Blur in here.
Blur, what up, beautiful people, man?
Welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Blessed and highly favored as always, man. Happy to join the off-ramp on another beautiful Thursday afternoon. Actually, it's thunderstorms and tornado warning all across St. Louis, so it ain't really lovely. But, you know what I mean? It's good. I woke up this morning. I'm still awake, so can't complain.
Man, yo, y'all stay with tornadoes out there. That place is scary. But tornadoes never hit the hood, though. They only hit the suburbs.
Nah. The sirens was going off, but I wasn't concerned. I mean, it went off for like 45 minutes or something like that, like the tornado warning. I was like, yo, it's just going to rain. We'd be all right.
Hold on. The sirens went off. Don't that mean there's a tornado around?
Nah, man. The sirens go off whenever they say tornado warning. I mean, sirens going off. I mean, I remember when I was working in retail, whenever the sirens went off, we had to make all the people in the store, including the customers, go back to, like, the back area of customer service, just hold them back there. They couldn't leave. We couldn't do nothing. It wasn't just rain, man. It wasn't going to hurt nobody.
That's a great time.
Let them be out near any windows.
Oh, they were definitely stealing at that point.
Yeah, they were definitely stealing at that point. It's amazing how our minds went to the same place. Like all them going to the back.
Yeah, back in the customer service. So now you do have a product in the back that you said that you have on the floor. All right, I got you.
I thought you said there wasn't none in the back. I see the Aunt Jemima syrup right here.
Now, see, I was working in Toys R Us, so it would just be like toys and bikes and stuff like that. We wanted to get rid of that stuff anyway, so we weren't holding nothing in the back. If you wanted it, we'd go find it for you.
I wonder if that's a myth of retail shopping. Like, how often have you asked somebody, is there one in the back? And they said, yeah, I'll be right back. I just got to restock the shelf. Because I don't think
I've experienced that at least once or twice. I won't say twice for certain. Both times I want to say I've been at Walmart, though. I know one for certain at Walmart. I can't remember the other one was at Walmart or Target, but it's one of those two stores.
I feel like that's a myth, like the McDonald's ice cream machine working. I don't think I've ever been to a place where something was out on the shelf. And I said, is there any in the back? And they was like, yeah. And it could just be where I was at. But
you know what it is, though? You know what it is? It's just like with me, when I was working in retail, I used to have to, like, come into the store at, like, 4 a.m. in the morning and unpack the truck and then put it on the shelf for, like, the rest of the day. And if somebody, like, would, like, come up to me and ask me, yo, do you got any more in the back? I go missing. Because if you know you going in the back, no, you just stock. You stocked all the carts up there and off the truck. Like, you ain't even get to that product yet. You got to look through all those boxes, open up the boxes and see the products. That no, I'm not doing that. Look, you got to come back a different day. I go missing real quick.
Let me check in the back, man. You go on break for 30 minutes, yo.
But I remember we actually did have something in the back. It was around Christmas time. I knew there was something in the back. And she was like, yo, y'all got more than the back? And I was like, nah. And I said nah because I didn't really feel like going back there. But in my head, I knew I was going to go back there and get it for her anyway. And sure enough, like a minute later, I see her walking by with my manager. And she pointed at me because he went and got it. He said, want to go back there. And my manager looking at me. I was like, yo, I was joking. I was about to come look for you.
Not the fingerprint, though. Oh, man.
You was out here just trying to flirt, yo. She done got you a demerit. Remember when they used to give out demerits, yo? I didn't care about demerits at all in school.
And it was like Christmas time around Toys R Us, too. So it was like the Christmas rush, like the week of Christmas when we just opened for a whole week. Like, you could see the same person in the store, like, for mad long. So I knew I was going to see her again. I was just like, all right, I'll go back. It was like, Backstreet Boys toy doll set or something. Like, I'll go get it. I know we got some back there. I'm going to go get it. Yeah, she went and got the manager before I could get it.
That's hilarious, yo. She done got you, yo. All right, let's start this show, man. Let's start with these topics, man. We still got a bunch from last week. We still got to talk about revenge porn. All right, just to clear up some stuff from last week real quick. Four-day work week. Blair, you wanted to talk about that. Does anybody really want a four-day work week? You still want to talk about that?
I mean, I feel like we need a bigger cross-section of people. I really wanted to hear from educators and women and stuff. For me, myself, I think I'm in corporate America. Well, you work for the education, but I think New York's in corporate America. I personally don't want a four-day work week. Because I have work to do, and I mean, I'm usually in my office on the weekends trying to get stuff done. Like, if I only have 4 days to get my work done, that's not really helping me.
So you can't get your job done in 5 days? But
I mean,
four-day work week. Is there really a five-day work week anymore? I feel like my job is, I wouldn't mind a four-day work week, but, like, it's one of those things where it gives you the option where if I got all my work done, then cool. I get off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right, if there's a four-day work week. But if I – even in a five-day work week, like when it's closing time and I got to deal with the auditors and stuff, like if I got going on a Saturday, I go in on Saturday. If I got going on Sunday, I go on a Sunday. But I think we're at the age where we're all in, you know, upper-level jobs where the kind of work day doesn't really matter. It's more about the actual work. But my question would be, are we still doing 40 hours in a four-day work week? Like are we, instead of saying 40-hour work week, you know, 8 hours a day, are you saying we're still doing 40 hours but 10 hours a day? Because I can tell you what, I did 10 hours a day. I love working a four-day work week, but those are some long days. Like getting in your job at, you know, 7 a.m. and not really leaving until 6 p.m., 7 p.m. because you got to add in the hour lunch break. Like those are long nights. So what do you mean by four-day work week?
I mean, I worked a 4x10 before, the 4 days a week, 10 hours a day, while I was working customer service. And that was quite fun. I liked it. And I guess it does come down to the type of job you like. But it would be 4 days, 8 hours a day, a 32-hour work week. Not a 40-hour work week, a 32-hour work week, 3-day weekend. And it's, my whole thing of bringing this up, if I remember correctly, was it's not really going to apply to anybody, and the people it do apply to, it's probably going to hurt them because retail is going to be open. So stores are going to be open. Restaurants are going to be open. All those places are still going to work 7 days a week. Those places are going to be open. So I really like, and I know they're proposing this in California, and California probably is the state that's going to do it. I'm just trying to figure out who it's only going to affect, like, government jobs, I guess. And because I deal with courthouses all day, every day, that's just mad pressure. I'm like, yo, I don't want to try to have to get all this stuff done in 32 hours. I don't want them to have to try to get this stuff done in 32 hours. I really wish we didn't have to work this 40 hours, but, I mean, 40 hours seems enough. It seems like right there, I go, maybe that's the standard for what I'm used to. It's like, man, we're going to take another whole day off of not working. It's already trying to, pressing my luck trying to get these court clerks to call me back.
Well, maybe you have to look at it the other way. Most jobs who can't get work done within 40 hours pay time and a half for overtime for every hour after 40 hours. Now, you would be getting overtime after 32. So you end up making – I mean, I can see the pros and cons both for both sides if I just think about it really quickly. I think it would bring more money into the economy. You give, you know, in a country where the financial divide is getting so much greater, there's more people with money now, but there's also more poor people. You add an extra day off, you're probably pumping another couple billion dollars in the economy every week just by people having more time just to go out and spend money.
But are they going to have the money to spend? I can tell you right now, because I work at Amazon, they're open 24-7, 7 days a week. Well, 24-7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's all part-time employees. So, matter of fact, I only work 4 days a week at Amazon. And they're supposed to work
but
five.
That's not
but if I work,
change.
I mean, I'm saying, so it wouldn't change for me. So, if everybody worked a four-day schedule, I mean, I'm not getting, I don't think anyone's going to get any extra money. It's not going to be any overtime.
But none of your money would change. You're still working part-time. I mean, if a four-day work week, you're talking about 32 hours. If you're working part-time now, you're not more than 32 hours, and you're still less than a four-day work week. The good thing about my
job I guess the people who work 5 days a week will still get their 20 hours or whatever, and they're not going to get over 32.
Yeah.
And that's somebody who works who's always open, never going to close. So, yeah, that definitely wouldn't affect it. I don't know who this would affect. That's what I'm trying. I don't really see who this would affect positively.
You're actually going to be able to hire more people. You're actually create more jobs because if you're starting to limit the amount of hours people can work, but your job is retail, you have to be open 24/7. Now you're opening up the opportunity for more people to get hired. Now that means that a lot more people won't get raises because now you're spreading the money a little bit more. But in hindsight, more people would get jobs. And people like me who, you know, you get my job is a 5-day work week, you know, 40 hours a week. But, you know, once, like I said, once closing time happens, I'm working, you know, 60 to 70 hours a week if it's that busy. My job won't change if you just give me a 4-day work week. Because if I can get my stuff done that week in 4 days, I will. If I can't get it done in 4 days, you know what I'm going to have to do? Come into work. But now you give me the opportunity to spend more money on a Friday or a Monday, I think it might be a good thing. I'd be interested to see how everything gets affected.
And your salary, right?
Yeah, I'm salary, so it don't matter how many hours I work. I mean, I get paid based off 5 days, 40 hours.
I mean, so I'm salary, and I guess it's – yeah, I don't know. I think if we change the work week, I will push back on it. They're not going to cut my salary because I'm working unless hey, I'm still going to make my money. And if I just happen to work 4 days a week, I just happen to work 4 days a week. They ain't going to cut my salary. But that's why I don't think it would affect me because I still would come in whatever I had work to get done, which in my case is always.
Yeah, I guess that's my question. So if my job is based off 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, and now it's 32, are you now cutting my salary just off the top because the government issued a 4-day work week? I actually, like if you're cutting it as a percentage, the funny thing is I wouldn't mind if I get an extra day off. But I'm also going to look at it, like if you cut my salary because we work down to 4 days, I think that I'm also going to – you spill the soda on the floor? On the couch? Oh, DJ C. Sign out here spilling shit. Then I will wonder how – like I wonder what would be my reaction. I think I would – I still – I mean, I guess I get paid a good enough where I'm privileged where I'm like, all right, cut my salary, whatever that 8 hours is. And I get a day off, I think I'm good. But then my question would then be, yo, when I got to come in and I got to work 6-7 days, now I want paid overtime. Like now you're going to have to pay me time and a half. I'm not accepting a salary now. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what they did with what they did in pharmacy. That pharmacists, they only pay them, they cut their salary, they only get paid their salaries based off of a 32 hours a week. So,
and they still consider y'all full time though?
They are. Yes. Full time. Salary. But you only work 32 hours a week.
But you work 32 hours a week.
And your salary is based off of 32 hours, not 40. So it is less.
And you just don't work as much.
Yeah.
But, and the good thing for you is that you don't really do overtime. Like, there are some days that you stay in there just to get shit done. But in the grand scheme of things, you don't really do overtime in pharmacy because you're retail.
Well, they don't pay us. But...
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, they tell me to come in 15 minutes early every day. That adds up.
Yeah, I think you have
a so
good too.
Yeah, if they were to, Virginia were to cut it down mandatory or new law 4-day work week, 32 hours is the work week. Would you go to your employers and be like, "Yo, I don't want salary. I'm getting paid by the hour now."
No, I used to get paid hourly. It's cool when you get that high. When I worked salary, I was getting paid a whole lot of money. I was living in Charlotte, and I basically got paid by the hour. And it was great, right? I was making money, right? But the problem is you get used to that money, and when you take a vacation, Like, you don't get paid. And that sucks. Like, you can budget for it the best you want. And I was young, so, you know, maybe older now, I would have a little bit more sense. Like, hey, take 2 hours of money and put it in savings for when you take a vacation so you still have that money there. But when I was a consultant, when I was an accountant consultant, and I was getting paid all that money, and there was a lot. Hey, there was a lot of strippers who was able to attend college because of me. And but no, I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't want to get paid by hourly, because if I got to take time off for something, if an emergency happens, I don't want that to immediately stop the cash flow. Like, I like a consistent cash flow. Hey, yo, this is my time. This is how much I'm gonna work. You're gonna allow me. Your benefit is to take off some time if I need it in an emergency, and there's not gonna be an issue. So no, I wouldn't tell my job that. But my job has really, really good benefits, and there used to be a lot of freedom until punk ass Yonkin made us go back to work. I hope that don't come back to bite me. Okay, let's go.
Oh, and they were punk ass? Yeah, he's going to get you.
I better never see him in the streets, y'all. I ain't going to fight him. I'm going to keep my hands to myself because I'm an adult, but he's going to get an earful.
Oh, but he's a businessman. He knows how to run things.
This is my only problem with Republicans, yo. Like, you say you're for big business, but you don't let businesses run themselves if it's not in your interest, yo. Like, just say, yo, I'm out for what I think is right. Damn, you still driving stuff? So, no, so to answer your question, Blur, nah, I'm not asking for hourly payments. Are you?
Nah, again, I'll just say that. You're not reducing my salary. I get paid salary. I'm going to get paid what I get paid a year, no matter how many hours I work. And they better not come to me and say, hey, you're only going to be working 32 hours a week now. We got to reduce your salary. I'm like, y'all need to put an ad out and find a new employee, because it ain't going to be me.
What about you, DJ C-Sign? You're in it now. You used to work a 40-hour work week.
32. I do 40 now.
Oh, you do 40 now.
I used to do 32.
You used to do 32. Would you like better, the 32?
Yes.
easy decision.
I need an extra day off.
Yeah, that was a nice schedule, man. What about you, New York? New York, would you tell your employer to let you pay well, would you support a 4-day work week?
I mean, after everybody put it into perspective, like, nah, I'm good with working with the 40 hours. I mean, now that I'm a manager, I definitely do more than 40 hours a week. But I credit that time back to myself. So if I, because I don't get paid overtime. So if I work over 40 hours a week, I just credit that back to myself. Oh, I'm just getting off early on this day. But yeah, nah. I'm not going to be okay. I would like a 4-day work week, because the only instance is you working well, for the people that go into office. And then when I was going back into the office, like, every day dealing with traffic, I got to wake up at 5 o'clock just to be there at 7 o'clock, get off at 3, and then sit in another hour of traffic just to get home at 5 o'clock. And then I blink and then it's already 8 o'clock. Yeah, nah, I definitely would support a 4-day work week, because right now when you get off at Friday, you get off on Friday, next thing you know, it's Saturday morning. You blink again, it's Monday. You right back at work. I think it should be another day added to the weekend. But like, yeah, nah, if you gonna cut my salary and all that, I'm good. I can get everything done in a 5-day work week, 40 hours and all that. I signed up for this. I'm making good money right now. Don't cut that to 32, especially if I was hourly. And definitely don't cut that to 32, because I mean, like, yo, how much do I make hourly? and you cut that to 32, you already got this. This is what I'm rambling, but this is how I put it in perspective to me of how I had to save my money, right? So when I was actually working hourly, when I wanted to buy like new clothes or the Jordans and shit like that, I started calculating it when I was working hourly. I started calculating, okay, so this is how much Jordans cost. So I had to work this much hours just to buy those Jordans, and then that money's gone. So I was like, nah, yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, I'm good with a 40. I'm good with a 40-hour work week. I'm good. I stay with that and then get the 2 days off. Shit like that. Nah, I can't do that no more.
Man, that's amazing. I just value my personal time so much more than money. Like, I'll be okay taking less money. I mean, because then you start messing with the benefits. Like, benefits are huge. Where I work at, you know, for the family, I pay for all the benefits in the family. So if I go down to 32 hours, 4 day work week, do I not get benefits anymore because I'm not considered full time? It really just depends on the implementation.
I think you would still keep your benefits because I feel like that would be the new full time is 32 hours a week. So I think you would still keep all your benefits, 3 days off a week, working 32 hours. But I just feel like you're going to still have work to do. Like, I feel like it would take away, that's my perspective, I feel like it's going to take away from your personal time because you have, and I guess it depends on, again, what field you're in. Because if I only work 4 days a week, like it's Thursday, if I didn't go into work tomorrow, I would have mad work to do. I already have mad work to do tomorrow. And if I was, like, not supposed to be in the office, I'd be like, fuck, I need to go in because I need to get shit done. So I'm not even going to be enjoying my time off. I'm going to be thinking about all the work I got to do.
So my question to that is, right. So I think, like, for me, it's not even to be personal, but, like, Fridays is, like, a chill day for us in the office. I don't know about anybody else. Work is still to be done, but, like, Fridays is, like, a chill day in the office for us. But if we diminish it to, like, a 32-hour work week, I guess, does the benefits change? Like, the prices and the benefits, would that increase? Or, like, depending on if you're paying, like, health, dental, or stuff like that, would that cost go up?
Yeah, I mean, it would have a huge ripple effect. Like you said California might adopt this. Just from a business perspective, you're automatically saying, yo, every business in America is going to lose money because now they're paying the same amount of benefits for 8 less hours of work per person for every company that has benefits. So you're basically putting the entire America in the recession until they can figure out the new number. I would pay to see it. We got my man MXer in the building. MXer, what's happening, man? Welcome to the off-ramp. I had you off mute for a minute, but it's just been a good conversation about 4 day work weeks. Would you want a 4 day work week?
Oh, nah. Absolutely. And I don't think that if you look at the European model, I don't think they lose money because they're in a 4 day work week either. And I don't think that your benefits will go away because you're in a 4 day work week, because you look at it as 4/10, not 4/8. And so you're still getting 40 hours a week. And from a benefits perspective, if I'm an insurance company, I still got the same number of people in my pool that's going to still give me the same amount of money in my pocket to be able to support that same level of care that I'm providing right now. So I don't think the benefits go away, and I don't think your money goes away either because, again, it's just 4/10, not 4/8. So I look at a 4-day week where that's 4/10, not 4/8. And so, therefore,
okay.
And even if you did 4/8, 32 hours is still considered full time. So, you know, I mean, it's almost like you have a nurse's type of job that does 4/12s, right? Or they do 3/12s,
well,
they do 3/12s, and they off got 5 days, right? So,
yeah, just to catch you up, that was the initial discussion. I was like, well, are we still working 40 hours just 4 days a week? or it's 32 hours. So just to update you on how we got here, Blur is saying, no, 32 hours is the new full-time. So everyone works 8 less hours a week. So that's what I was basing my argument off, that every corporation would then lose money just because if they're still paying the same benefits, they're paying it for 8 less hours of work per person. So they probably have to hire an extra person just to fill that extra 8 hours per week that they're missing. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know,
sort of.
I catch you up to
it. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
So do the Europeans,
I mean, to me,
only
I feel even
the Europeans only work 4 days a week?
Yeah. Like that's where the model came from. I would love the nurses week, man. You do 3 12s. You do 3 12s, 36 hours, and then you all 5 days. I mean, that schedule, I mean, look at that. Like, you know what I'm saying? You do 3 12s, you all for 5 days. Like, who wouldn't want to fuck me off by 5 days? You don't have to take no vacation, right? Because you got 5 days that you're off every week.
Hold on.
Like,
nurses work 3 12-hour days?
Yeah, they work 3 12s. 3 12s, all 5. 3 on, all 5.
That's amazing. I mean, I couldn't deal with the death, but I would.
Right.
I would,
I mean, it's a lot of work, right? Because, but yeah, it's a lot of work. But yeah, if I had an option, I'd work 3 12.
I mean, nurses.
Get
nurses don't do shit, but
IVs
and people.
Work 7 on, 7 off.
Firefighters work 7. Let's see, if firefighters are good scheduled because you have to sleep in the firehouse, and that's a week away from your family every other week, and that's just worth it.
I just think I do agree with you though, Beach Mom, is that extra day off for your well-being, I think would cause or decrease the amount of stress that Americans have overall. I think that just that you know, when you go on vacation, look how happy people are when you got that Monday off or you got that Friday off. Like, it just boosts morale like so much, right? And so I think that matters more to me than a couple extra dollars in my pocket, to be honest with you.
And that was the difference that Blur was saying, because Blur doesn't want it. So, you know, I don't want to revisit the entire discussion, but Blur, give M Extra a quick rundown on why you don't want the 4-day work week.
Well, ultimately, I say I don't want it, but I think it comes down to your field you're in, and I guess – what you do at work. Like, I think if you have a job that you leave your job at your job, then that's fine. I'm pretty sure you're 4 days off. You cool. Fuck that job. If you have a job, if you're in management, mid-management, or something, that's why I say more of the salary positions where you're already working more than 40 hours a week, you're taking your job home with you a lot of times. Like, my last job, I didn't bring home with me. This job, I'm already thinking, like, damn, we got 6 hearings that got scheduled today. I'm already thinking tomorrow I got to go in and do updates on 6 case files to make sure they're all up to date for a hearing that's a month away. If I didn't go in tomorrow, I'm like, I'm going to be thinking about that for three days. Like, fuck, now there's 6 more hearings that's got to be pushed out. I got to work these out into the next 4 days. So people who work under me, like the secretaries and stuff like that, and the clerks, yeah, I'm pretty sure they won't mind a 3-day or 4-day work week because they don't think about these things. All they do is type some stuff in, they're done. They don't take their work home with them. I think if you have a job that's like, then again, I hate to put it in this like salary versus hourly, but I think that's kind of where the divide comes in at. Because I think you're getting paid salary because the company already assumes you're working more than 40 hours a week, or that you're putting in more work than you're being paid out.
Yeah, I mean, the way I always looked at salary, you know, when I moved into salary after college, it was like, yo, we're paying you to do this job. If you agree to this amount, you're going to do this job for this amount. I don't give a shit how long it takes you. Now, for visual purpose, you still got to come in the office these hours, but this is why I'm paying. So, you know, just like for my job, like it's going to get real busy in a month, right? You know, like come July, I'm going to be – 60, 70 hours a week, like, I got to get this shit done. But a day like tomorrow, like when I wake up tomorrow, I'll probably do an hour and a half worth of work, and then I'm chilling, honestly. Like, I know my boss listens sometimes, but she gets it. Like, I'm not going to do much. I could really have the day off. Like, I could really wake up, do what I need to do to make sure everything's updated within the bank and that we got money and nobody's going to get fucked over. And I could go about my day and no one will miss me. Now, from July 1st, I'm going to have to be in there from sun up to sundown. So it's a trade, you know what I'm saying? It'd be great to have that option. But again, that's coming from a privileged standpoint where my job pays me to get a job done. Really, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. If it takes you 7 days, then you got to be in here 7 days. If it takes you 4 days, then you just got to show up the fifth day. You just don't make it look obvious. So it'd be nice to have that fourth day. I mean, just the 4 days, so I got that fifth day off. But, hey, good discussion, fellas. I didn't really think that would be a good long discussion, but I'd be interested. Blur, keep us updated on if California does this. And, you know, I would really love to see how it affects their economy.
I don't think it's going to affect the economy at all.
I mean, I just want to see how it affects it. Whether it does or it doesn't. I just want to like start looking, because I wouldn't.
Yeah, but I guess my point. And I don't mean to cut you off. Is that I think you're looking at the wrong place, though. If you're looking for metrics, right? I think it's going to be the overall. Like, I think you got to look at it from a personal standpoint too, a mental health standpoint, morale standpoint. Like, I think there's a lot of other metrics besides money, because the economy is going to keep moving regardless, right? Especially because a lot of stuff happens over on the East Coast, so they're always ahead of the time, right? Or they're technically behind, but they stay open longer, right? If you think about it, right? So companies over there that operate over the East Coast do stuff a little different, right? Because a lot of the tech supports, a lot of the help desk, a lot of the, you know, service centers, right? They are in California because they can operate longer, and then us on the East one, we're going to sleep, they're still open, right? That's why a lot of help desks are moving over to India, if you think about it, right? So I don't think the economy of California is going to suffer that much, but I think that it'll be telling in the other statistics that are around the morale of the workplace and the people that actually shifted that movement to your original point about how they would, you know, I mean, get that three-day weekend and what that does to the production of that actual employee, as opposed to how much money that company's losing. I think that's the metric, right? If employees are still productive in a four-day week versus the five-day week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just interested in seeing it. I'm just if it has an effect or if it doesn't. I mean, which you're saying.
The funny thing is
very
I think it's going to, if they do pass it, if they even put it in the test scenario, I think it's going to make all the rounds. I think it's going to be on the front page of every news organization, every late night show. So I think you're going to hear about it if they pass this or if they just put it into a test.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got on it. DJ Cesar, you got anything you want to add? No, your job sucks regardless. It don't matter if it's 40 hours or 32.
Yeah.
Near, you want to add anything?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I thank you for the insight.
All right. All right. Now, MX, you said you wanted to talk about replacement theory.
Yeah. Have y'all heard about it first, I guess? Have y'all heard about the new
replacement
that?
Yes, we've heard about it lately.
Do I get a new wife?
No, I mean, I can't promise you that, brother. I don't think you're going to get that. But it's basically about how it's the new call for the, I don't want to say Republicans, but just this new call to white supremacists talking about Hispanics and minorities are going to replace them. And so that's their fear, right? And so while they've been out here trashing critical race theory because they think that they should, their kids shouldn't have to learn about slavery and what their ancestors do, or not even to be apologetic or empathy or empathize with that history that we've had to go through, right? But now they're on this whole, well, this replacement theory where all the minorities, the black people, are going to replace us, and so we need to kill them, right, to basically make sure that they don't replace us in our overall population in the United States.
They want to kill us so that we don't replace them. That's new.
Yeah, it's like, it's like the population, right? So they're thinking like the same thing. Like the Hispanics are eventually the way that we're, I guess, procreating, right? Like eventually we're going to eventually catch up, if not already, right? And that closing the gap anyway, right, to the population. And so the idea is that if you kill the minorities, then that won't ever happen.
And you know what's funny? And I know this is like when people start talking about replacement theory, it goes not even to just the white supremacy of killing black people. It goes into that whole abortion law, like all that plays a part on it. And it's not even new. It's not even new. Fox News has been talking about this since before Obama took office. I remember them talking about it before I think he even announced he was running, but definitely during his campaign. Like, this has been something they've been talking about for a very long time, about Caucasians, white people not being the majority in the country. And they believe it's going to happen, and they always go to different avenues on how it's going to happen. And that's, I think, is weird, because it comes down to the why, I guess. Why do Democrats and liberals want to open up borders and just make arrests so that the black and the brown can replace the whites and be the majority? Yeah, okay. Why do Republicans want to ban abortion? So white people, poor white people, all white people could stop having it and make sure they have babies. And that's why they say abortion claims were in the hood to stop black people from having kids, and that white people can have kids so we can try to balance out or just have more white people in the population, less black and brown people in the population. I feel like it's such a stupid and maybe asinine theory. And I mean, I guess all theories can be looked at as stupid from some perspective. Things happen. People come in. Demographics change. I don't think it's any plot to overthrow, to specifically to say, all right, we got to get these white people, make them a minority. I don't think that's a plot by anybody. I don't think it's nobody's in collusion. And I think it just happens. It's going to happen, possibly. Maybe it won't happen. Who knows? But I don't think that numbers change. White people used to be the overwhelming majority in the country. Now they're not so much overwhelming. Hey, you know why? People are fucking, and they're fucking each other.
And the whole notion is behind white women not having enough babies, right? And so it really contradicts that the abortion thing, right? Because I guess it doesn't really contradict, but I guess they're just trying to force them to have more babies, right? But who's to say that they are still going to have those babies, right? Because if you think about it, right, they're just going to go to and have the money and the means to find ways, right, going to another country or to fly to another state or drive to another state because they have means to do so to get that same abortion. So, you know what I mean? So I don't know if this whole thing doesn't even make sense, but to that point, you know what I mean? Like, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Now, is this in response to the Buffalo shooting? Because I mean, if you're talking killing off minorities is what, 30% of the country right now, 40%. It's got to be like you're incorporating all minorities: so black, Hispanic, mulattoes, big lotto, Cardi B. Like, yeah, they minorities, ain't they? You're talking about, like, almost half the population. Hey, that's a lot of people to kill. Now, it'd be interesting to see, like, who they let pass, because there's a lot of those Hispanics who say they're white. Like, I wonder where white people put them. I know right now they put them in as white because a lot of them vote Republican, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in this replacement theory, it'd be interesting to see, like, where they would put them on the firing squad. But if this is a response to the Buffalo,
it's not a response. No, this is to a blurred point. It's from, and I just looked it up. It's from, like, a French philosopher, a right-wing French philosopher, basically popularized it.
But the shooter believed in the replacement theory. It was in his doctrine.
Correct. It was in his manifesto that he wrote, and it was also in Charlottesville too, 2017.
Right.
He was echoing that.
The Jews will not replace us.
That was
on their sign. That's what they were chanting. Or
yeah.
The Jews will not.
Ain't
replace
the Jews
them.
White?
They don't.
All
white.
My Jewish homies is white.
Why do you keep thinking?
I'm just saying.
Jewish is not a race, man. It's all made up. I told you, man. Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish.
Yeah, but he converted. He took classes, okay? I mean, if you go to class and you convert, you can become Jewish, too. It's a religion. It's
Jesus
a cult.
Jesus was a Jew.
Yeah. I mean, but they do that in all
but
religions.
You know, but you know what? The funny thing about the Jewish people, though, Jewish people are actually procreating at rates that they are to replace what they lost during the Holocaust. That's what they believe in, right? They're looking to replace that population that was lost. Like, I don't think any other ethnic group has that same mindset. Right? Like, they're looking to replace that intentionally. Like, we don't have that mindset.
Oh,
so I don't understand why we even target it. Like,
so we should be replacing slavery people then.
Mm-hmm.
If we had that mindset. Yeah. I just don't think we would have that mindset though, right? Otherwise we'd have families that have like four or five kids. Right.
You can't even get babies.
I mean, but if you think about it, I mean, that's why you don't want to, you know, anti-interracial relationships, because you're replacing white babies with black babies when you have white women have or black women have babies with
Absolutely.
The opposite sex.
But is that true anymore? Do they still consider themselves black? Do kids? Hold on. Let me just finish my answer. I want you to answer.
Nah,
the
that was going to be my question.
Yes,
too.
I don't know what they consider. I know what society considers them.
I'm just wondering,
right.
Do kids nowadays who are black and white, do they still consider themselves just black? DJ, she's hiring.
Oh, I'm not saying just.
No, I'm asking.
But I'm talking about white supremacists. We'll see that and call them, and they'll be black. So they won't consider them pure white. Which is the white supremacist doctrine, or you know, So yeah, they might.
What do they do about redheads? Do they kill them too?
I don't know, because I would think redheads would be inferior. They're not
blonde,
blue eyes. How you green eyes and red hair?
No, they're white.
True.
But we're asking, do white supremacists consider them still white?
Yeah, they're still white.
I mean, if they subscribe into what Hitler's model was, then yeah, then that's the blonde hair, blue eye, like that's the pure, you know what I mean, Euro American whiteness, right? So any drop of what they would say Negro blood means that they're not a pure, you know, white person, right?
And if you're redhead, then what is that? You're Irish.
Yeah, Irish.
Is that
inferior? Yeah.
I think that's part of replacement theory, that white people just broaden in their tent. Irish people used to be considered Irish, not white. They're white. I mean, it's you used to have different sanctions or different fashions of white that are now just white. And I saw it on a forum. I want to say when my son was doing this college admission stuff. I could be wrong. It might have been something I saw at work. It was only like three options on there. It was black, African American. Asian, Latin American, or white. You're one of those three. And so white just copied everything else. If you're not black, if you're not Asian, you're white.
They didn't even have Latino on there?
It said Latin America. So it was black, Latin American, or white. And that was it. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And I remember thinking about wanting to bring this up. I probably should have screenshot it. And I was like, oh, wow. So they just keep broadening the tent on what's considered white. Polish is white. Irish is white. German is white. The girl my son was dating, I asked him, like, what race is she? He was like, oh, she's black and German. I was like, black and white, man. What do you mean German? German is white. It's all everyday in Big Lotto. Like, I mean, she could be mixed, but she's still black and white. I mean, you try to divide out your whiteness, but on the and the thing, they don't have German as an option. You white,
right? Because German is not a race. German is a nationality. It is a.
But this was a problem with the girl I dated in college. Like, oh, what if you're black and you're German?
You're black.
You're just black.
Yeah. You are a foreign black person.
Hmm.
Because what was the black person from? Were they African?
Maybe they were born in Germany.
Mm, that's just it. Usually the lineage is not. They are black because they have a African ancestry.
Well, what if we move to Germany and have a kid over there?
We're black.
You're going to be German, though.
But he's black. German is not a race.
They call the Greek freak the Greek freak, and he's black.
Yeah, because he's African.
He ain't Greek.
He's African.
Is he Greek? No, I think he just played ball in Greece. Nah, he moved there.
No, he was. I was gonna say
his parents are from Somalia or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. He's African. What?
This does remind me of something. My high school weight coach, the weight room coach. I'll shout his name out or whatever. So I remember, I don't know, we were talking about race for something, and he said race is stupid, it's not going to matter, because we had these, I don't know what their nationality was, but these two people, two brothers on our team, who looked mixed race, they looked like The Rock, and he said 30 to 50 years from now, everybody's going to look like them, so all this race stuff doesn't matter. And, I mean, he might be right, because that's what I'm saying, I think the New York was talking about as well. I mean, people is fucking black people, fucking white people, fucking black people, Puerto Ricans is fucking everybody. I mean, we all going to wind up looking like one race. We're all going to wind up looking like the
wrong. That's why the white people are scared.
But see, I don't think that's
right.
That's exactly the reason
why.
Go ahead, I'm actually.
But see,
No. I was just saying that's the exact point that's why. This exists, right? It's exactly right. They don't want that. They don't want to just look like one person, right? So whether class doesn't exist or what you still, I mean, if I'm sure they're going to try to find another thing to separate us, right, when race goes away. But they're still trying to prevent that from going away, though. That's the whole premise.
New York.
That's what I call
crazy,
it stupid, because I don't
no,
think you're going to be
crazy,
able to.
It's crazy. Yeah, no, because it's crazy still back, even back then, they were still impregnating the slaves. So now all of a sudden, now it's coming into fruition. Now it, they becoming the minority. Now they trying to prevent it. Nah.
So the slavery thing was about dehumanizing the man, right? So if you had a woman and I wanted to get to you, I'm going to rape your wife in front of you. Let you know that you're not as powerful as me. That's what it had everything to do with making you be inferior than it did because I wanted to have that person's baby.
I mean, that person.
Yeah,
sure
but
now,
look at the long term about it, right? Look at the long term about it. Now we have interracial relationships and stuff like that. Now, look what it's become. Now look what it's become now.
Oh, that's true.
Did they try prohibit it now? Like, no, that's the karma for what you brought on us.
I don't know. They talk bad about LeBron James' son going to the prom with a white woman. There's still some of that interracial stuff that people don't like.
Yeah, and people are not going to like it, but it's not going to stop. You can't stop this train, buddy. It's out the gate and it's running. As much as what's the black dude name? I agree with a lot of what he says too. to do with the
Jussie Smollett
or something or whatever. Nah, the dude with the two schools who married the two women. Yeah, Umar Johnson.
Umar Johnson.
Yeah, like he may want to stop it. He can't stop it. The white supremacists may want to stop it. They can't stop it. This is going to happen.
Go ahead, DJ C-Tyron. Oh, I thought you was trying to say something. But I mean, you know what's going to change. It's just going to go to dark skin to light skin. Like, once we get to the point where we're all near the same shade, it's going to be the dark skin, light skin argument, which is still a shame. But,
I mean, just look at India. Caste system has been around for centuries.
Are Indians black?
No.
Yo, VJ seemed black as hell.
But that's just it. And that's the caste system. No, they're not. They're all Asian, and they weren't having babies with black people. They're just different color. They just had a range, and they decided to.
BJ seen daddy or mama black. I don't care what you say.
They just decided to make the darker skinned ones a lower, you know, society, or class in society.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you would think that. At this point, now that we have the internet,
and they can move to America and look down at the black people. Go ahead.
I know, damn shame. But you would think that now that we have the internet, people wouldn't think complexion matters, and it's really about education and what? And stuff like that.
You know, what about the internet makes you think that? That's the conclusion people would reach.
Because you see people doing dumb stuff of all races, colors, and creeds. So you can't blame ignorance on color anymore. You see white people wilding out. You see black people wilding out. You see Asians wilding out. Tiger Woods, he's every bit of everything. He was wilding out. You know what I mean? So you would think that, I know racism still would be around, but, you know, I feel like something should have changed.
The internet is just an echo confirmation chamber. Whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it. Whatever you believe, you're going to find more people to believe it too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, well, how the hell did we get on that? Anybody got anything left on that? Got to move on, man. So much stuff to rap about. Speaking of race, that was your replacement theory. Oh, yeah, so real quick, my son saw, and all y'all got kids except for New York, New York. Yo, so my son saw a little person last week and was absolutely confused. He saw a little person, and he said, hold on. What? Why is he so short? And it occurred to me that he never saw a little. Like, it was at that moment that this was brand new in his life. He had never seen a little person before. So, you know, I mean, we just gave him a little explanation. Like, sometimes, you know, people are born with, you know, shorter limbs and, you know, it's not a disease or anything. They're just, you know, they're just tiny. And he was like, yo, that doesn't make any sense. He was like, they come from, like, regular people. I was like, yeah. You know, like, we're all regular. He's like, but nah, he's tiny. So I wanted to ask the group in New York, New York, I know you don't have any kids, but maybe if you can remember the first time you saw a little person, like, do y'all remember your kids, like, one of their first experiences of seeing something that, like, we kind of really don't talk about, but, you know, like little people, like, you know, we know they're around, there's nothing wrong with them, they're just a part of society, but it's not something that you teach your kids. And I'm sure I'll let you go first because you got three of them, so you might have three different funny stories. All right. Maybe you're on mute. No? All right. I don't know what happened to M-Extra. Blair, what about you?
You know what? I was sitting there trying to think. I can't think of anything specific, and I was trying to think. Like, my son has always... But unfortunately, he hung around adults for most of his life. So sometimes it hits me that he's a kid and there's things that he hasn't experienced and like certain things that he hasn't gone through. I can't think of anything specific. It's bugging me out because I don't know. I think he's just always been around stuff. I don't think he's seen a little person yet. Not like live in person. I'm pretty sure he's seen him on TV and on the internet and stuff. But I don't think he's seen one in person.
Really?
Huh, that's interesting. And he ready to go to college. And I'm trying to remember the first time I saw, like, a little person or, you know, somebody that was different. And I guess because I'm not, like, I mean, we had a kid who was handicapped in high school. That was the first time that I really saw somebody, like, really be handicapped. And, like, you know, he was a regular cool kid. You know, he wasn't, like, part of the crew or anything. And that just wasn't because he was handicapped. It was just, you know, he's just, you know, we all played sports, and he obviously couldn't. I felt bad saying that. But, you know, it just was what it was. But, like, he was a cool kid. Like, he didn't bother or anything. But, like, I was just amazed that, like, it blew his, like, he couldn't figure it out in his mind. So. All right, I was hoping somebody would have a funny story, but I don't know what happened to M-Extra, but New York, you got any, you remember the first time you saw something completely different and it blew your mind? Yeah, I'm back.
You go ahead.
Oh, M-Extra, oh, well, not, New York, I'll go to you and M-Extra since you're back. I'll come to you after New York. Go ahead, New York.
This is why I say New York is not a real place because it's a lot of shit out there that can blow your mind that you would never see before. So I've seen a lot of shit out there. But as far as I hope it's not a disrespectful term, a little person, I have never seen that before in my life. The only time that I ever
you've never seen a little person.
I never seen a little person. The only time I ever seen a little person was on reality TV. What was his name? What was that joint? I think it was like Webster? I Love New York or some stuff like that. Midget Mac. That's the first time I ever seen a little person. And then they have this little show. They had this other show on reality TV where it's all little people. It's all little people. I hope that's not a disrespectful term, but that's the only time I ever seen a little person. I've never seen a little person in real life. Even with the Jackass series, they had that little man on there too. But nah. As far as seeing a little person in real life, I've never seen a little person. But wild experiences, I see that all the time in New York. Yeah.
Oh my God! Go ahead, M-Extra.
I mean, I guess I can just go back to what I kind of shared with y'all a couple weeks ago when I was at the Erotica conference in Chicago, when I was amazed by the world's smallest porn star. She was 3'6", 40 pounds, had two kids. And she was out there getting it in. I just was amazed. Stripping, it was really like, I don't know. I had to stop. I had to walk away. It just didn't feel right, actually. I mean, but they were showing her videos and shit, and she was out here fucking like everybody else and shit. I just don't understand how, and she was proportioned too. So it wasn't like, that's what they hyped up. The fact that she was proportioned, because usually little people have something that's, you know, the head's bigger or the body's bigger or some kind of trunk is bigger, something like that, something the proportion's off, but she's proportionate to be that small. And that was just if you were telling me that right now, I wouldn't believe you. But I wouldn't believe it if I would have heard it. But I saw it, and it was just like her girlfriend, because she had a girlfriend, was carrying her like a baby. It was like the weirdest thing ever. People were digging it. And they were selling her little small shoes. Like they had the little, you know, those little white baby shoes, the little white jumps, the little like that you were the first walking shoes. They were selling them of hers, like that she wore them. And then they had like her undergarments and shit. Like it was the weirdest shit ever. Like, I mean, it looked like, yeah, it was like panties, but you don't think like a three, I mean, imagine 3'6", like a person 3'6", 40 pounds, right? That's like a 12-month-year-old type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, but she was had like thongs and shit that looked like Barbie doll clothes. It was crazy, but people were buying that shit. It was taking pictures and shit. It was weird. Weirdest thing ever.
Now, you know, was that the first time you ever saw a little person?
In person?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That's the but that was the first time I seen a little person in that space. Well, in that and proportionate like that, like I, because she looked like a regular person, like didn't have no kind of.
What is in Miami with the midget strippers, little people strippers? You didn't go with us to Miami.
Can't say I was there.
Miami's a wild place. But
so yeah.
I didn't mean to turn this into a little person conversation. I just really meant to say, like, what is the first time your kids saw something they've never saw before? You had to explain it. But it turned into a little person conversation. Shout out to little people strippers. Got to make your money, too.
No. Before you move on. No, but it's crazy. It's crazy because I had this conversation, like, a couple of days ago. But it's just like, nah, you remember when you were a little kid. But you grow up into the stage and your height and your weight that you are now, like, can you remember just growing into your height? I mean, you can remember you was a little kid, but just overnight, just as years keep growing, you just grow into your limbs and stuff like that. That shit is crazy. I ain't going to hold you. Because you can't remember just when you're growing. You can just remember when you were a little stage and then you at your actual height. But you don't remember actually when you actually growing. That shit is crazy unless you got the little, what's it called? You got your family that mark your height on the little door sill or some shit like that. But that shit is crazy.
Look, the only way I really paid attention to my height, how I knew I was getting tall, is because I had an uncle that's the exact same age to me. He's 9 months older than me. But we kind of grew up like brothers. And I remember being younger. I remember being shorter than him. And then I remember the first time, like, we compared our height, and I was taller than him. And then I remember, like, I kept looking down and down on him. And I was like, oh, man, I'm really growing. You're not. And that's how I really realized that I was getting tall. It's just because I had somebody to compare with that I was with every day of my life up until, you know, I went to college. Well, really up until he became a Jehovah's Witness, and he kind of put me to the back burner for the religion, which, hey, I get. But, yeah, that's how I kind of realized that I was getting taller. But, because, you know, normally people in your school, you know, they kind of grow with you. Yeah, it's interesting. A 3-foot stripper is kind of crazy. The fact that her girlfriend carried her is nuts. But I guess she can't.
She was sitting on her walking. She was sitting on her lap. She was sitting on her lap, and I didn't know, because we, like, literally, you're trying to find a person. I didn't know where she was. And she was literally, I thought it was a baby. She was sitting on her lap. Like, cradled up, like, her hand, like, you know how you would, like, hold your baby and the legs would be, like, if you're sitting down, legs would be around your, like, your waist, and you're just, like holding them, like, holding the baby. Like, right. That's exactly how her girlfriend was holding her. I thought it was the girl's baby. And then she got up to take a picture. I was like, oh, shit, there she go. Because we didn't know where the hell she was. Because she was sitting there the whole time, and I was just like, you just glossed over. Because I'm like, oh, she's holding, she got a kid. That's crazy. You got a kid here. Like, you know what I mean? But we saw some crazy shit there, so I'm like, yeah, what's the baby doing here? Whatever, some crazy other shit going on. So I just glossed over it. And then she got up. I'm like, oh, shit, that's her? Like, that's not her. Like, no, that's not her. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's her. I'm like, what? That's Lexi. What the I was like, okay, all right. Then I had to get my phone out.
She's
30,
right?
I don't know where her age is. I just know that she got two kids, 40 pounds. 3'6". I just don't know how that's even possible. How do you birth that? I don't know. Like, yeah.
Little
like, how do you
little baby?
Bring a human? Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, no, because this is the thing. She's 3'6", 40 pounds. how you birthing? So our average weight of a kid is what, like six some pounds or something, right? Like, how do you carry that to term? Like, I don't know, and a woman that size carries the baby to term like that. I don't get it. And
like
twice,
Terriers,
and do it twice.
It's like Boston Terriers have it.
Yeah,
man,
it's like little dogs.
The punter squares in biology work wonders. The little peas and
DJ
the big peas.
Do you think that? DJ, she signed, really. You the resident medical person. At least you did more classes in that thing than anybody else on this other call. So do you really, would you, if you saw that, said two kids, would you be like, damn, that's possible?
I don't think I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah, I don't think that's too. I mean, the point that she had them at the convention, I think that I'd probably be like, why? But not that she had kids. I mean, no, I don't think so. Not that surprising. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but
yeah, because if a baby's 8 pounds, that's a quarter of her weight.
Right.
What's the Lord's stats, yo?
Oh, I don't remember what he was. He came out. That boy was yellow as a motherfucker.
No. Right now. No, like right now.
Oh.
70?
Yeah, he about 80 pounds.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, she's less than him. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, that gotta be crazy.
Yeah.
That's just baffled the shit out of me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. You can understand why she's so popular, because that's an anomaly, but I couldn't imagine if, like, my mom and dad were 40 pounds and I was, like, a regular human being size. Like, Dad, you can't tell me shit when I hit 7. You got a body. Smack the shit out you, Dad.
Yo,
if you 3 foot
yeah,
and 40
you
pounds,
the weight.
Nigga, you take out the trash. What you going to do?
Right, you
I will put your keys on top of the refrigerator. What you going to do? I think I'm going to start getting on short people jokes.
You're right.
But, man, that's amazing. All right, so that's that. What else do we want to talk about? We already kind of touched on Blur fell off. I don't know what happened to him. He wanted to talk about relationships. All right, so just real quick, you know, man, we only got 20 minutes left. That had been quick. I thought we had a good hour. So Kendrick album review. Album came out last week. You know, we didn't get a chance to review it because it just came out. It came out on Friday. Had a week to digest it. New York. What'd you think of the new K-Dot?
I actually didn't get a chance to actually digest it, you know what I mean, because I haven't listened to it all the way through. I think I listened to the first, like, at least 3 or 4 songs. I haven't gotten to the actual space where I needed to actually listen to it. But as far as his actual talent and everything, I love it. I can't knock it right now.
Okay, so you got one listen or none at all?
No, so yeah, I got one listen all the way through to like at least 3 or 4 songs. Other than that, yeah, I haven't like actually sat down and listened to it all the way through. I haven't sat down and listened to it on a playback. I haven't done that.
DJ, she's sorry?
Oh, what do I think of it? You know, we go back and forth. I mean, I really think it is a great introspective, you know, like everyone's saying, a masterclass on different, you know, subjects that we just don't talk about, don't hear people talking about. I mean, but you know, it, like, I'm trying to reject the fact that it, what Beach Bum Gun saying, you know, just, it's not something that you're going to listen to
Man, let me get my
Oh, well, okay, sorry, but
what do you think of it?
But, you know, I definitely want to go back and listen, you know, a few more times. I want to get into it more. But sonically, it's not bangers. It's just you got to listen. I mean, it's a couple. I think it's great. I love it. I'm not gonna say anything negative about it.
What do you rank this as? What as his albums? You got Section 80, you got Damn, you got Good Kid, Mad City, you got The Pimp or Butterfly. Where's this one fall at? You gotta be quick about it.
I don't know. I would have to think about it because it just doesn't sound like any of those.
So you think it's better than any album he's ever created?
No. I can't really say that. But I just don't even want to put it in the same category.
Okay. And Max, what you got on the new K-Dot?
Let's do it twice. I'm on the same page as DJC Sun. I think it's like different. It's just different. I think lyrically it's on par with what you would expect from Kendrick. I mean, the topics that he touched on, especially like what's the one, my uncle's a female, whatever the one that is, whatever the title is, but I mean, just
Auntie's Diary.
What is it called? The aunt, yeah. Auntie. And then the one where I don't know the titles, but I just the one that he was, you know, talking about the when they fought and, you know, I mean, the back and forth. I think that was good. But there's no like club hits, right? But I don't even know if that's really Kendrick's style, right? So I kind of agree that, like, it's not something that you would, like, put on, like, a run-and-play mix or anything like that, but you just got to kind of one of those vibes out, and then, you know what I mean, then you'll appreciate what he's doing or the project. You'll appreciate the project over, like, when you're just vibing, but it ain't something that you're just everyday listening. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I thought the album, at first when I heard it, I was like, ah, this ain't for me. It's one of those albums that ain't for me. I gave it one first listen. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I couldn't sleep. So I woke up. I came downstairs and I just laid on the couch and I was like, damn, I can't fall asleep. I was like, should I do work? Because usually when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't sleep. I start doing like work, which is goes back to that discussion of a 32-hour work week. I start doing work and it'll bore me and then I'll get tired and I can finally go back to sleep. So I was like, oh, let me listen to the new Kendrick since it came out at midnight. And I was like, ah, this ain't good. But I listened to it at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday morning when I couldn't sleep. So I was like, oh, let me give it another listen. But it took me a minute to go back and listen to it because I was like, yeah, I remember this sucking. That was my first thought. I've listened to it about 5 or 6 times, and I think it's one of those albums where it's really good. It has some really good artistic moments, but, you know, music is one of those things where we want to be entertained by it. If you're entertained by, you know, intros, it's crazy because I read the lyrics when I listened to the album one time. Like, I read all the lyrics that were available on iTunes for the entire album, and I was like, yo, he's really spitting it. Then I just let it play. Didn't read the lyrics, just let it play. And I was like, yo, a lot of these beats are tough. But then I felt like, I feel like the lyrics and the beats don't match, if that makes any sense. Beat rhyming, it's a lot of just rambling. I don't know if that's done intentionally. I'm assuming it's done intentionally. And I'm assuming it's just because I don't get it. Because Eminem does a lot of that, too. And he's considered one of the greatest rappers of all time, just actual putting words to paper. So I thought it was great lyrics. I thought it was really, really good beats. I love the Heart Part 5. I can't believe that's not on the album, but I guess that was his style of making them all Lucy's. I think that's the best song he's got, and it's not even on the album. But I don't know how much I'd listen to it again. I listen to music for entertainment, for, you know, for certain moods, whether I'm trying to, you know, rub the wife's ass or if I'm trying to, like MXR said, get a workout in the gym.
or if I'm trying to coast and, you know, ride along the highway and listen to something. I don't know if that fits in any of those categories. So I don't know. As much as I said, you know what, I came around. I actually like this album. I think it's a good album. There's probably two songs that I'll listen to again that I'll add to, like, a riding playlist, and that's it. So then it came to my question is, where do I rank this on his albums? And, of course, it has to live a little bit more. These albums got to, you know, I'll have to go back to it and listen to it again. But right now, to me, it's his worst album he ever made. I think Section 80 was phenomenal. I still bump joints off that Section 80. I thought Good Kid, Mad City was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I think that album has songs for the kickback, for the gym, to ride down the street, good thinking songs. To Pimp a Butterfly, I didn't like, but it still had I Love Myself, which is just a great song, and what's that other one, King Kunta, which I think is a great vibe.
We're going to be all right.
Yeah, like Pimp a Butterfly, as much as I didn't like that, it's got some jams on there. Damn, I thought it was phenomenal from start to finish. And this one was all right. So I hate to hear that. I think it's his worst album. But it doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, when you're putting it up against, hey, watch y'all background noise. When you're putting it up against how many great albums he's got, in my opinion, like if this is his first dud, which I don't even know if it's considered a dud, like he's already got two classics. So he's got just as many classics as probably Jay-Z. So, you know, I can't be mad at it, right? And that's just my long drawn-out opinion on Kendrick. Y'all got anything else on K-Dot?
I think just for me, I'm going to make it short and quick. It's just, for me, I just appreciate when an artist grows into a different element than when they first started in the game. So I just think I appreciate the difference that this album brings as far as compared to the last albums. It's not the same thing. It's not the same repetition that we get from these other artists that we expect the other artists to do. And then it's just like a certain instant gratification. It's like I appreciate the artistry that goes into the work that is different than with the other pieces that brought us. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock it. You know, like you said, all art is subjective. And you listen to music for what you want to listen to music for. And, you know, if this is the road that he decided to travel and he put his best foot forward, you know what I mean? He's a millionaire. God bless him. You know what I mean? Like, in my opinion, don't mean shit. Like, if somebody else loves it, DJ C-Siren loves it. Good for her. It's just, you know, we just don't agree on it. But I could end up growing to love it because I do think it's good. It might just be something that just has to grow on. It's like the last Meek Mill album. When I first heard that last Meek Mill album, I was like, yo, this shit sounds terrible. He sounds like one of these young kids. But I listened to it more and more, and I'm one of the few people that, yeah, I thought Meek Mill killed that last album. I thought it was probably his best lyrical work of all time. But it didn't get that great reception. So it's all subjective, and as long as he's happy with it, you know, he's sounding a little depressed on the album, so he might not be happy with it. But, like, it was one of those things. Like, I listened to the Kendrick album a little bit today, and then after track, you know, I was going to listen to the rest of it, and I was like, this made me want to listen to Nipsey. And I put on that Victory Lap, and I immediately started bumping and turning up. I was like, oh, this is what a good album sounds like. And I was like, damn, man. Kendrick ain't got a good one to me. But it's not bad. It's weird because it's still not bad. It's kind of like, who's my man who made the, and actually you probably know it because Young Scrabby used to play the album. Who's the old rap dude who made the album about the college? Disposable Arts, Master Ace, that's the album. I thought that album was phenomenal. but it doesn't have anything that really, really bumps. But it's a great conceptual album of a kid going to college. It's absolutely phenomenal from start to finish. But it's not something that I would want to ride with, but I can appreciate how good it is, if that makes any sense. But, you know, New York, New York, when you get done listening to it and you digest it, man, give me your opinion, man. I would like to hear what you think about it. What else we got? What else we got? Oh, man, we got to talk about MJ versus MJ. Real quick, white MJ versus black MJ.
You don't want to take more time?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, we got 10 minutes. How long is it going to take? We go down the list. So, Blair, see, it's Blair's topic and he ain't here.
Right.
Maybe we'll save it for next week, then. All right, we'll save it for next week since this is Blair's topic. All right, so I had a question. Can a woman force you to have a child if you don't want to? This subject happened because I had an old friend call me, and, you know, I haven't seen her, talk to her in a while. And then, you know, she was asking about the family, like, how's the wife, how's the kid, and all that stuff. And we're just catching up. And I was like, yeah, my wife asked me for another baby. And I was like, man, she must be crazy. Like, I can't believe she would even want to put her body through this. And, you know, just like small talk, right? And she was like, well, if DJ Cesar wants you to have a kid, there's nothing you can do. And I was offended. So what do you mean there's nothing I can do? She's my wife. And I was like, no, if I don't want to have a baby, she can't have a baby. Like, we're married, unless she decides to cheat and have another baby. And she was like, no, with you, as her husband, if she decides that she wants a baby, there's nothing you can do. And I thought about it. I was like, okay, I guess, you know, because I'm not going to have to stop having sex with my wife. I still find her very attractive and very loving. So I guess if she wanted to just decide to stop taking birth control, you know, she could make the possibilities go up. But as someone who's married, I felt as though, and I didn't get into this deep discussion with her just because I just thought it was an interesting topic when she said it. But as a married person, I feel like my wife has to discuss if she's going to stop taking birth control with me. Now, DJ Cesar. And I thought this was kind of interesting when it comes to dynamics of marriage. If you wanted to have a child, and I said, no, I didn't, would you still have a child with me anyway?
No, we have to have a discussion and come to a conclusion.
Okay, because that makes perfect sense.
I mean, that's a major life-changing decision. Like, you know, you don't just go out and, you know, buy a house without telling your other spouse. You know what I'm saying? And a child's on another level. So no, you would definitely have to. I wouldn't do anything like that. No.
Now, are you obligated to tell me when you stop taking birth control?
No, I don't know about obligated, but yeah, I mean.
Now we're married.
About being obligated.
And we still have sex on the holidays.
Yeah, but what does that, that's not trying, but what's the reason you're doing it? If you're doing it because you want to have a child, then yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's, you don't just stop taking it for no reason.
But see, you're reasonable, right? I guess I should have waited to get an unreasonable thing. But MX, what do you think? Do you think a woman has an obligation to tell the man if she stops taking birth control if they're married? This isn't boyfriend-girlfriend, but if they're married.
I mean, I don't know if obligation is the right word, right? But I think it's a discussion that overall for, if it's a health discussion, then I think that it's pertinent for the other person or party in a situation to know, right? Similar to like if a man decided to go get a vasectomy, that should be a conversation that he should have with his wife. But I don't think that it's an obligation. I say, for instance, if she goes to the OBGYN one day and they're saying, listen, you're having some issues, bleeding, whatever, 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 we're going to change your pill or take you off or whatever the case may be, then that's a conversation between her and her OBGYN. If she chooses to let you know about all that kind of stuff, then sure, but I don't think she's obligated to tell you what her and her OBGYN is doing in terms of her overall health.
But back to your question, though, I do think that if a woman wants to have a baby, then it's absolutely nothing a man can do, because at the end of the day, if, let's say, for instance, she decides to, that your wife says, you know what, I don't want to take birth control no more because I just don't want to take birth control no more, right? Are you really going to wear a condom?
Yes.
Are you really?
Tell me, get a vasectomy.
Well, then that's your decision, right? But again, if you don't want to get a vasectomy, you say yes to the condom, I guarantee you're not fucking wearing a condom. Come on, you know, you're not wearing a condom.
I said yes to a condom, but I really meant I would just go get a vasectomy because I'm not having any more kids.
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And that would be you taking that action into your own hands. But the majority of the dudes out here who have a wife, they're not going to take those precautionary tactics that we could do to prevent the pregnancy, right? So if she's not going to get their own birth control, then, shit, you got to make a decision to get a vasectomy, like you said, or wear a condom. And the condom is pretty much out of the window. So now it's just you getting a vasectomy.
Where I disagree with you is I think if you're, again, this is under the caveat of marriage. And we'll say a happy marriage, right, or at least a functional one.
Yeah.
I think a man is obligated to tell his wife if he's going to get a vasectomy.
I agree.
I understand that. But, see, I also think a woman's obligated to tell the man if she's going to get off of birth control. Because I can't, if I don't have a kid, I can't be busting up all of you raw and I'm thinking you're on birth control when you're not. Because I should be.
Are you pulling out anyway if you know that she's not?
Huh?
Are you pulling out? Because we're past, you're not wearing a condom. So are you going to pull out now?
Get a vasectomy. If you say, yo, I'm getting off birth control, I'm not taking birth control, I'm like, all right, I'll just go get a vasectomy. Because you're right, I'm not putting on a condom again. That's why I guess part of the reason why I got married. Safe.
Right.
But I do feel like it's an obligation when you're married. So then my next thought in the conversation, well, New York, what you think? Man, we might need more time. We only got 2 minutes.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm gonna make it quick. I agree with M Extra Money. I definitely do. But at the end of the day, I know in my situation, these girls today, if you don't have a marriage bond, if they want to keep the kid, they're going to keep the kid. I had a situation like that. Thank God she wasn't pregnant because I wasn't ready. I thank God that I had an ex that told me that she was getting off birth control. We still didn't use condoms, but thank God that she didn't get pregnant. Other than that, I think it's nothing you can do at that point because if you decided to go half on a baby and then she ends up pregnant and then she wants to keep the baby, there's nothing you can do about that at that point. But that's my experience.
Okay. So then the other, we only got a couple minutes. The other thought that I had while having this discussion is, if my wife decided to have a baby behind my back without my approval, am I obligated to take care of it? DJ C.
Sire. But it's
But it's my child. No, if you say you want a kid, I say, no, I don't want a kid, and you decide to take yourself off without my knowledge to set me up to have a kid, and I can prove it, am I obligated to take care of that kid?
Yes.
See, I don't think I'm obligated.
I mean, if you don't want to take care of your child, then that's on you, but that's a little... That's...
But isn't it on you for setting me up?
You shouldn't have sex.
M Extra.
Hey, yeah. Hell yeah, you're responsible to take care of the kid, yo. It sounds good. I see where you're going, right? But at the end of the day, you still could have took your own precautions. You could have.
Nah.
You still could have.
Yeah. Yo, that kid,
you could have.
That kid by himself, yo. I can't trust my wife again, yo. That kid gonna grow up a bastard. I'm out. I'm taking my one good kid. You can't roll the dice. with the Bizarro Kid. New York, New York, what you think, yo? Is the man still responsible for taking care of a kid that he didn't want, that his wife set him up to have?
I ain't gonna hold you. I'm gonna have to take care of the kid because I ain't trying to get put on child support. I ain't trying to have no courts garnish my wages. I'm gonna have to take care of it. At that point, ain't no way I'm getting paid the money that I'm getting paid, and all of a sudden I look at my paid stub and it'd be like, oh no, child support? Nah, I ain't doing that. Nah, nope.
Yeah, I feel like a judge shouldn't require me to pay for a child that I clearly stated I didn't want.
I mean, it's a good court case. I don't know if there's precedent. I don't know if there's precedent behind it in that argument, right? But because I think it's it definitely wouldn't stand water if you're not married, right? But if you're married, I think I don't know. Because I guess what would your argument be? Just because I didn't want
I didn't want the fucking kid, and I told her I didn't want a kid, and she clearly it'll be difficult to prove. But I'm saying if you can prove
that's what I mean.
That she set you up to have a kid that she knew that you didn't want.
But how's that different than somebody getting a condom out of the the trash can and getting pregnant? Like, how's that different? There's several cases of that, and they proved it. And
that's why Drake putting hot sauce in his condom is so amazing.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
He put Texas Pete in his condom, and the girl put it in her coochie. Alright, that's as good of a place to end as anywhere. Maybe we could table discussion for next week when we get more people on. But, I don't feel like a man should be obligated to take care of that child if it can be proven that he expressed to her that he didn't want it. And because she wanted a child, she set him up. So we're going to end on that note, man. It's been a good show, been a good fun show. I still didn't get the 90% of stuff I wanted to talk to. See, we get the rambling, man, and things get a little crazy. But, you know, my 76ers lost. We didn't get to talk about that. So it sucks. But the playoffs is on, man. It's a good game. Not right now. Boston's beating the hell out of Miami. So be able to get some good rest tonight, man. So, DJ Cesar, you want to say anything to the people before we go? DJ Cesar and tired with a bad attitude, so that's what I got to deal with tonight. I know she don't want no more of my children. MX, you got anything to say to the people before we roll?
Nah, man. Peace out.
All right, well, good having you on the show, man. Glad to have you back. New York, New York, floor is yours.
Yeah, all I got to say is don't ask retail workers if they got an item in the back. It's not on the shelf. It ain't in stock. Other than that, y'all, you know what I mean, shout out to the new minority, or shout out to the new people that's taking over the new minority, or soon to be Can't Stop World Progression. Other than that, I love the nostalgia of bodegas with the cat on the bread. But down here, y'all, you know what I mean, Amish market. The Amish market got good food. Check out the Amish market. Other than that, y'all, you know what I mean, stay blessed, stay safe, stay away from the monkey parts too, because they talking about that.
The monkey. We have to get into that next week, man. Good show, fellas and lady. Catch y'all next week.